friends, and welcome to In the Know, your 25-minute deep dive into all things employee experience. I'm JD, the Chief Learning Architect at Exonify, and today we're kicking off Season 2 of ITK with Jennifer Calcamucci, Director of Learning and Talent Development at Shake Shack, a company that, in case you were wondering, does in fact sell merch. Jennifer is going to help us understand why concepts like resilience, well-being, and fulfillment are essential in today's workplace, especially when you support a frontline workforce. Plus, we're going to highlight an undervalued and frankly underestimated pool of new corporate talent. That's transitioning teachers. But first, before we welcome Jennifer, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Catching Up with JD. I hope everyone had a fun, rest-filled holiday and a quick but comfortable return to work over the past few weeks. What was the best thing you did over the holidays? Let me know in the LinkedIn chat right now, because I'm about to tell you what I did over the holidays. So I'm interested to hear what you've been up to for the past couple of weeks. Of course, I actually worked every Christmas day for 14 years between movie theaters and theme parks. So if you're in the retail, food service, travel, hospitality, or healthcare space, thanks so much to you and your teams for your hard work this holiday season. I'd also like to thank everyone who supported the release of my new book, The Modern Learning Ecosystem. And for those of you keeping track, about 2 minutes into the show for me to mention it this time. But seriously, the feedback has been awesome. So thanks again so much to the teams at ATD and Exonify for all of the support. And of course, if you want to give it a look, head over to jdwroteabook.com. The Exonify team was right back at it upon our return to the office. We headed to NYC for the past few days to participate in the biggest retail event of the year, and that's the National Retail Federation Big Show. We were joined by our friends from Lowe's and Kroger who shared their stories of frontline enablement. And we showed off some of our latest tech, including our new communication and task management features. So be on the lookout for more Exonify tech updates coming real soon, real soon. I spent most of my holidays actually reading. I actually read more books over the past couple of weeks than I've read the past couple of years combined. That's probably on me. So here are a couple highlights of the ones I enjoyed. First, you have Josh Burson's book, Irresistible, which is about Kate taking a focus on a more people-focused workplace. So love Josh Burson's book. There's Melissa Daimler's book, Reculturing, which is about how you can take those company missions and value statements and just rip them off the walls and actually turn them into decision-making tools that you use as part of your everyday work. And then there was Sean Canungo's The Bold Ones. This is perhaps the most energetic business book I've ever read. And it's about taking disruption from this big, scary force into turning it into a more achievable professional strategy. And speaking of Sean Canungo, Sean's actually going to be one of our awesome guests here on ITK Season 2. Bob Mosher's coming. He's going to talk about the importance of sustainment strategy as part of delivering L&D value. Donald Taylor's going to be here. He's going to help us learn what's hot in L&D this year. And of course, Sean's going to be here, and he's going to tell us why the key to success is trying to get fired. I know, right? And he's going to share a lot more awesome insights from his new book. So you can actually sign up now to get your ITK updates and show announcements delivered straight to your inbox. So head over to our new website. That's exonify.com/ITK for all of the details. I also spent a lot of time during the holidays on the couch. Let's be honest, watching the movies, watching the streaming. I want to give you two standout entries, two recommendations for you. First one being The Menu. That's all I'm going to say. Give it a try. One of the best movies I saw last year, The Menu. Then there was Glass Onion, the Knives Out sequel. It's a fun, twisty mystery, as long as you don't take it too seriously. So let me know in the chat again, do you have any streaming recommends, any cool movies that you watched during the holidays? And if you're wondering, no, Die Hard is still not a Christmas movie. No, not a Christmas movie. Finally, while I spent plenty of time reflecting during the holidays, I also started to look ahead about what's coming up over the next couple of months. And that includes a slew of industry events. So first, I'm heading to New Orleans in February to speak about technology trends at the appropriately named ATD Technology. Then I'm coming home to Orlando, where I'm going to talk about proven influencing tactics at Training 2023. And have you had a conversation about AI recently? Maybe messed around a little bit with ChatGPT. Well, I'm actually going to talk about AI in workplace learning at Learning Solutions here in Orlando this April. So hopefully I'll see you out and about at an event this spring. So now you're all caught up. That's enough about me. Now let's welcome our first ITK guest of the year, Jennifer Calcamucci. Jen is a lifelong learner and educator who is dedicated to consistently helping others achieve positive results through her passion for learning and dedication to growth. As director and head of learning and talent development at Shake Shack, Jen's team is responsible for producing the human capabilities needed to accomplish business objectives and to provide modern content and experiences that attract and retain team members. For over 25 years, Jen has dedicated her career to education at all age levels and sectors, whether mentoring young sorority women at universities or speaking to corporate executives on several personal and professional topics. Jen is always focused on making a learning impact that elevates and inspires others to reach their full life potential. Jen, you're in the know.
I love it. I love it. Thanks so much for having me. Such a pleasure. And we're kicking off 2023 together. So that's a really cool thing.
Now, being in the food service industry, you support one of the teams I mentioned earlier that often doesn't get the chance to take the break during the holidays. And I'm sure the drive-thrus at Shake Shack are always packed, as it was for me before the show.
I love your swag. You're representing. That's so great.
So I have to imagine that supporting a frontline focused business, you've learned a lot over the past couple of years. So what are the most important things that you've learned about the employee experience, especially what people need to thrive on the job?
There's so much. I mean, in the last few years that we've learned, I'm definitely calling this an absolute collective global trauma, right, that we've all been through. But as I've reflected and I've learned in the last few years, and I know Shake Shack's learned a lot as well, one key thing that comes to my mind is we're all individuals. I mean, many of us have figured out by now that we want more balance, more flexibility in our lives. We want the opportunity to bring our whole authentic selves to work. And thriving on the job right now is going to be a direct reflection of your leader and the overall employee experience as a whole. People now, what I've learned, want to come to work. They want to feel valued. They want to have a sense of fulfillment. They want to have a sense of purpose in what they're doing. So, so, so important. I believe it was Gartner last year published a 2022 report. And instead of the great resignation, they were talking about the great reflection. And they published something on the lines of like 52% of people right now, or since the pandemic, really are questioning their sense of purpose in their day-to-day life. And this is a critical concept as learning leaders for us to really be thinking about, especially when we start talking about retention, engagement, and really enabling happiness in the workplace. I know that since Shake Shack began in 2001 as a hot dog cart, our mission to stand for something good has been our driving force in all of the decisions that we make as a company. And since the pandemic, one thing that we learned and we placed an even stronger emphasis on is a priority on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we're placing the emphasis on that as a core thought, not just something that's an afterthought. So as a core thought in all of our workplace programming. And another point I want to bring up in terms of really learning about what's important right now and what's critical is encouraging everyone to have a voice. I know at Shake Shack, that's really, really important to us. In order to progress, we really need to hear and understand the experiences of our team. So that's why a few years ago, we formed All In, our formalized diversity, equity, and inclusion program. And it focuses on really elevating voices, differentiated voices, eliminating barriers, and really providing an opportunity for all team members to grow and thrive. And we remain committed to that. And we also release an annual report, our Stand for Something Good report, every single year, which really keeps us focused on being transparent and really progressing on our demographics and what the progress is of our company.
Amazing, amazing work. So I want to dive into one particular area that's particularly relevant to frontline workplaces, but I think broadly speaking is relevant as well. So around the idea of retention and attracting people who want to work in an organization and keeping people within the organization. And on the frontline especially, there's been a big push in the last few years to overcome staffing shortages by helping people see roles in industries like retail and food service as more than just short-term gigs. So I'm interested to get your perspective on why it's essential for frontline industries like your own to shift their focus from jobs to careers moving forward.
Yeah, I love this question because this question really to me is all about growth. And I've dedicated my life to the growth and development of people at all ages, right, at all times. Some people view hourly jobs as disposable and they're temporary, right? But they are, and they can be so much more. We're no longer living in this whole era of like a job for life. I'm probably your parents. I know my parents worked tirelessly for over 40 years and they retired, right? That no longer occurs. We're now in an era where there is a life of jobs. And employers need to be able to create that vision, that pathway, right? Those opportunities so that employees really understand what's next for us. The hospitality industry, I've learned, is a massive industry, right? There's so many verticals, there's so many paths. It's our responsibility to make sure our team members can really see that. At Shake Shack, we have a program that's called Stepping Up, and it's a career progression map. So all of our hourly workers begin during that time, right? And it really demonstrates what's needed to really advance in every single step of the way. We also have formalized training of management positions of that model called STEER. Another thing that we've done is we've launched a shift up program at the end of 2020. And this program focuses on our shift managers and gives them opportunities to really advance and gives them more leadership-based skills, as well as a new manager program that we just launched last year. I think the big key here is growth doesn't just happen vertically, right? I think that's a misnomer. It can happen horizontally as well as we take on stretch assignments and different development opportunities. That is something that we really need to be thinking about as leaders as well.
And that's, I think, a huge point right there. Even it resonates with me because my first job is a frontline role in a movie theater. And mm-hmm. I looked at career progression for the first chunk of my career as that vertical climb. Well, I have to go from here to supervisor, then from supervisor to assistant manager, shift, right? So, and if there wasn't a natural path upward, I felt blocked to a certain extent. So I think that's why it's critical. It's not just the employee's perception of the work. It's how we shape the work. And that you kind of spoke to the importance of learning and development as part of that story.
Absolutely.
And part of the challenge is that the conversation around learning and development at work tends to focus on a lot of the foundational stuff, right? Like onboarding, compliance, you can't get around it. Those are things we've got to tackle. Progressive organizations like Shake Shack recognize that larger role that L&D can play to improve the overall health of the workplace and create those paths forward and that opportunity to kind of change your entire strategy around talent. So I'm curious, what role does learning and talent development play in fostering ideas like resilience and well-being?
Such important topics, right? And we know, here's what we know, and here's what we've learned, right? When we focus on resilience and well-being in an organization, it builds retention, right? It builds happiness among team members. So what we've done in terms of learning and talent development is we're infusing well-being in our development paths, our programming, and additional courses, right? So we're doing this in our Shift Up programming, our 18-week course that I mentioned before, program on leadership skills. We already had over 160 shift managers go through that program, with a third of them being promoted. We also have courses that are directly correlated to well-being and other competencies like interpersonal skills, resiliency, empathy, psychological safety, super important, right? And we also allow and enable experiences that showcase examples of being resilient and taking care of yourself with balance. So in December, I was very privileged and I had the honor of moderating a women's leadership coffee conversation with two of our incredible female board members. And they spoke very candidly and very open. We want to create a space where everyone, especially women, you know, feel open to be sharing stories of how they overcome challenges. And it's an easy model that can be replicated over time.
So there's likely something hanging in people's minds as they're watching this conversation right now. And that is, it's actually a central theme in my new book, The Modern Learning Ecosystem. And that is time. So it's just hard to fit meaningful development opportunity into a busy schedule, especially when you think about frontline workers and the fact that they can't just step away from the operation. They can't do extra work off the clock. But when you talk about adding these other developmental opportunities and kind of expanding the idea of learning and talent development, it kind of runs into that question of time. So I'm curious, How do you make learning and development that ongoing priority, especially if teams are maybe dealing with limited time, maybe they're short-staffed, maybe they have reduced budgets taking place right now? How do you keep that learning and development priority front and center?
I don't think that topic's ever going to go away for learning and development teams. I think it's something we're going to have to learn to manage and live with. We're always looking for impactful ways to do more with less. And so one of those ways is thinking about content curation versus content creation. So what can we curate? What do we already have? What are the resources available to us that we can already leverage instead of taking the time to create? I think there's two things that are key here that a lot of people, especially learning leaders, need to lean in on. One is this idea around partnership, right? We cannot do everything alone. We're always looking for ways to partner with our cross-functional teams, our subject matter experts, our SMEs, and our leaders to bring a project to life, right? Also to fill in the gaps. Our leaders have, we have such tremendous leaders at Shake Shack, right, that have special talents and experiences. And so our learning team partner with them to really bring that to life in an instructionally sound way. And then lastly, it's definitely partnership and then definitely networking, right? So last year in May, Shake Shack held the largest leadership retreat in history in Arizona. And it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. But one thing that we did do and we leaned into is instead of just focusing on industry leaders, and we did, we focused on inspirational leaders that we knew, right? That we knew in our network. Focused leaders that we knew had a story and we knew that they could share their story in an educational way and connect with our people in a meaningful, intentional way. And a lot of times when we do that, it makes the largest impact of all because it's that human connection that can't be replicated with something, someone or something that doesn't resonate well with your audience.
Absolutely. And I will second the point that you made around the importance of curation, especially when you're talking about a large distributed workforce, right? Because there are often so many challenges or so many interesting ideas or so many unique skills that we just don't know about or just aren't scaled meaningfully. So a person in a restaurant in this city doesn't know that a person in a restaurant in this city has actually encountered that challenge or solved that problem or has a unique way to going after that particular challenge. So leaning into that idea of creating those connections and curating that information, I think, is a critical way to overcome a lot of the barriers that we face when we think about supporting such a large distributed workforce.
Very true.
And another key part of that, if you're thinking about curation, especially at scale and at speed, is technology.
Yeah.
Obviously, technology constantly changing the way that we work, including on the front line, as well as in remote hybrid roles like myself. And adopting new tech can be overwhelming in a lot of cases. Oh my gosh, so many new tools can be scary for some people who maybe are less familiar with tech or a little bit maybe resistant to adopting those types of tools. So how, in your opinion, can organizations help people embrace new tools and make sure they're comfortable applying them on the job so that we can effectively lean into them as an organization?
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with technology. I think everyone does, right? When it works, it's fantastic. When it doesn't, it's not so great. Technology is tricky. It can be intimidating, but there's so many different ways that organizations can help their people really embrace these tools. I know that our team and our company at Shake Shack's really excited. In Q2, we're going to be launching a new learning management system. And although we know this is not a flip the switch solve, right? We're looking for different avenues and ways to make this friendly for all. I think the first thing we want to understand for sure is how are our people learning and where are they learning from, right? Certainly when we consider a hybrid, remote environment, right? When they're in the shacks, we're thinking considerably about and what's the time that they can have to learn, right? So what's going to be key for us and what we're doing is we're establishing focus groups, we're establishing pilot groups, right? We want to understand the learner persona so that we can enable shadowing. That's really important. Another thing that we're focused on is potentially not rolling out technology all in one shot. It's really important to remain agile and to understand what is working in one area may not be working in the other and how can we adjust and pivot as needed. Constant feedback, information sharing, really active listening. Those are all things that are key and important when you're leveraging technology, especially a new tool. But really the goal here is understanding how do we meet our learners where they are. So it's just in time learning, where are they, and understanding who your learners are key to that success, I think.
That's, I think, a huge point as someone who's worked in technology for now the last 10 plus years. It's a big piece that a lot of people miss. And I especially think within large dynamic organizations, there's this assumption that, well, if it works for this part of the workforce, it'll work for everybody. Or if it is a good idea on paper, it makes sense to us as learning and development professionals. Of course, this is the right way to help people. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to understanding that individual, that audience, that persona, how they spend their time, what work looks like to them every day, and then backing into, well, what's the right experience? Because I often say, what you learn, the knowledge and skill requirements of your job are informed by what you do, but how you develop that knowledge and skill is directly influenced by how you do your job. And especially when there are frontline workers involved, I think having an understanding of what that day-to-day looks like is critical to making smart decisions when it comes to technology and strategy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, learning and development is a service-oriented division, right? Our role is to service and serve our learners. And that's what we do passionately every single day. And so I think it's really important that not only are we understanding where are they learning, but the main thing is, how do they like to learn? How are they consuming the information that you're putting into the technology, right? And are the tools usable? Because sometimes we think that tools are really great and they sound fantastic, and then we put them into play and they're not so fantastic, right? So we have to shift gears accordingly.
I always say we're not looking for the best idea. We're looking for the right idea, right? Because on paper, it could be the best idea imaginable, lines up with all the scientific research, but then you put it in practice in real life and suddenly it's still the best idea. It's not the right idea.
I'm stealing that. I love that.
Trademark, trademark, everybody.
Got it.
So one more question for you. It's going to kind of veer a slightly different topic that I don't think is still getting enough attention, and that's transitioning teachers. So in 2020, apparently my entire library is sitting next to me for easy reference. You actually contributed a chapter to this book, Teachers to Trainers, in which you tell your personal story of making the switch from the academic world to the corporate space. So since the book was published in 2020, more than 300,000 public school teachers and staff have left the field in the U.S. So I'm interested to get your thoughts on how organizations can better leverage the unique talents and unique experiences that transitioning teachers bring to the corporate space.
Such a topic close to my heart, because I really understand what it takes to transition out of the classroom, and then also what it takes to be a learning leader in a corporate environment. I too read a stat last week, 2.6 million educators have left the classroom in K-12 or higher ed, right, since the pandemic. Those are big numbers. I want to be really clear when I talk about this topic, though, is that I'm not advocating for a massive exodus of teachers to leave the classroom. We need exemplary teachers in our classroom. I've always said this, aside from parents, teachers are the ones that are instilling the first love of learning into children and young adults. And we need that. We know that the love of learning really fosters a sense of growth and development over time, right? But what I am saying is that our learning leaders and talent acquisition leaders and hiring managers, if you're a hiring manager, right? We need to understand there is a new talent profile in the pipeline for you. And this is the educator, right? Here's how I see it. Learning happens everywhere. There are no boundaries to learning, right? And someone needs to facilitate and teach that learning. Why not it be an educator? Educators are the most passionate about learning. There's so many transferable skills that teachers have. It's effective communication, time management. They're all balancing multiple projects at one time, right? There's an opportunity to bring these teachers in, really train them to help build courses, facilitate, really lead programming. And we should not dismiss that. We should be encouraging leaders, if you're a hiring manager, to really look at their skills, assess their credibility, and most importantly, really understand, are they a culture fit for your company? Because that's what's most important.
And I completely echo that sentiment. I often say I would much rather have to train someone on how to use a particular tool or help them navigate corporate politics and subject matter experts and the different things that may be a little bit different on the corporate side of the world. What I can't teach is the passion for helping people get better. And so if you, right, if you have the passion to work in the academic space, especially in K-12 education, I can't replicate that in any way.
Passion or not at all. I mean, you cannot train heart, right? Yep. So it's something for all of us to think about.
Absolutely. And because I'm a giant egomaniac, one more reference to my book. In the beginning, there's the dedication, and there's a couple of people's names on it. And the first person's name that I dedicated the book to, her name is Margaret. She was my high school English teacher.
I love that. I love it. I think that's fantastic. Good for you.
All the way back around. So Jen, thank you again so much for helping us kick off ITK season 2. How can people connect with you and follow up with the great work that you're doing with your team at Shake Shack?
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. Super, super honored. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. And I just want you to know as well, I'm digging into this book. I'm digging into this book this weekend. And I think this is a really cool quote that you have on here. An organization can only transform as fast as people can learn. So if people have not checked it out, I'm checking it out this weekend. It's how I'm going to spend my weekend. So thanks for having me so much.
Thank you. The plugging never stops, everybody. I'm sorry. But again, thank you so much, Jen, for your time today and for sharing your insights into the employee experience with us. If you had a good time on this episode, be sure to subscribe to ITK. Head over to exonify.com/ITK to sign up for show announcements and get reminders straight to your inbox. You can also watch the entire ITK collection on the Exonify YouTube channel or listen to In the Know on your favorite podcast app. Our EX exploration continues on Wednesday, February 1st, where we're going to dig into all of those headlines that say this is the biggest thing you need to care about this year to figure out what's real and what's just noise. Jordan Indiker is going to be back, and he's going to help us figure out where we need to focus if we really want to improve the employee experience over the next 12 months. So we're going to talk about the economy, talent retention, management burnout, skill strategies, remote and flexible work, and of course, artificial intelligence. So sign up on LinkedIn to join our live virtual studio audience in 2 weeks. Until then, I've been JD. Now you're in the know, and always remember to ask yourself the important questions. Like, why do people say after dark when they're talking about nighttime? Shouldn't it be after light? I'll see you next time.